Namaste and welcome. We've been speaking a little bit on realization, the process of realization, if it comes all at once or if it's a gradual thing. And so what's been commented on before we turned on the mic was basically it can come in two ways. That it can be a sudden thing that happens, or you can go through, and even when it's the sudden thing, still there are some shifts in consciousness that take place before. But then when the shift takes place, then and things fall away, that's kind of like if you wanted to explain your paradox feeling that's happened with you with things that are... Can he have the microphone there real quick? Yeah, you, there's a feeling of, you know, there's, if I look within, there's like, and I hate that term, if I look within, because there's nothing really to look within. You know, there is no set persona in place as such. You know, the person that you were has really evaporated. You know, I can't really... say that there's anything that I can really grasp onto that's a solid point. What most people think in the world is a persona or, you know, even though people out in the world, of course, they're still going to see a personality, you know, because you just go on, you know, things go on as was before. So they're going to see some sense of personality. But there's no longer something that's driving you as a persona to get something or to do anything. So yes,
what I've was heard it? Some people describe like
microphone,
like no inside and no outside.
Right, yeah. It's just so, you know, everything feels so empty in nature that you really can't say any longer a within or without, because everything is comprised of energy. So what within or without of what?
Yeah, but what I was saying was, and not claiming to have like mm-hmm. any kind of full realization or anything, but kind of a place that I entered into where it's a paradoxical state, sort of like two simultaneous realities, one mm-hmm. where it's the universal divine and one more personal, but they both were simultaneously true.
Right. I would say that's like the being in the sarvakalpa, a sarvakalpa samadhi, where at once you're one with God, you know, but there's still this little bit of edging feeling that there's some persona there, but you're consciously one with everything at that point. Yeah, that's a sarvakalpa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Very close.
Beautiful place to be.
It's a wonderful place because then there's just that divine love there and it's bliss and there's nothing separate and, you know, yeah. Yeah, it's a just very, very peace, a lot of joy at that point and everything is in a flow and everything is connected and there's nothing separate. Yeah.
It's, you know, when I read the Kashmiri Shivaist literature, it's like it's like, yeah.
And that's what it is. When you start going, have these big major shifts in consciousness, then the value of the writings that you read is when you read it, it's like a diary. And you go, yeah, that's it. It's no longer a hypothetical thing, you know, or a philosophy that you're trying to run your life around, but, you know, it's still not part of your experience. Now it's like, yeah. That's it. That's like it was for me when my guru said, what you're talking is the Ashtavakra Gita. And I'm going, what's that, you know? And so afterwards, and it's one that's on the Advaita teachings, it's like the Vivekchudamani, Sankacharya's highest works of the Vivekchudamani on non-duality. And I picked it up and read it after that and went, yes, that's it. It's like a diary at that point almost, because it's been the direct experience rather than something we've read about and try to understand it intellectually. and think, oh, yeah, I've got it, you know. But that's not it, because the direct experience is so different than it is for having an intellectual idea about it.
Now, it seemed like I was reading in your literature that you were of the Kashmiri Shivaite tradition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, part of that's one of my traditions.
Advaita, or?
Yeah, all Kashmiri Shaivites go towards Advaita. They're, you know, the final thing when you have Shiva Shakti united, it's non-duality. So, yeah, the Kashmiri Shaivite, even though it's got a path through duality, it's still, in the end, a non-dual tradition.
Well, it certainly seems so to me. Mm-hmm. You know, it seemed like even more so to my thinking than the Advaitists, personally. In that, it seemed like the Kashmiri Shivites, if I'm pronouncing it right, and I'm not sure I am.
Yeah, Kashmiri
like
Shivite.
The world and the absolute are like oneness.
Yeah, it's still one. Right, right. Shiva Shakti is one. That's why they have Ardhanarishwara, which is the half Shiva and half Shakti. That's one of the deities, or one of the, you know, models that we look at. And that's a realized being, basically. You know, Shiva Shakti, it's united, it's one, it's not separate. You know, I think what happens is, like Sankacharya and some of the ones, the Advaitist non-dual, what happens in realization, the moment of realization, the only thing that exists and has reality is the absolute. And this world has no sense of reality, or it's no more than a dream state, and even less than that, you know, the feeling. So people, I think what happens is the moment they got a realization, they started writing these things about it. And so that became the very non-dualists. Okay? But what happens in time is things begin to settle. This is why I tell people, when you know, if you reach, you know, realization, you dissolve in that, implode in that, whichever way it feels. You know, it feels like sometimes an implosion or just dissolving or whatever. And all that remains is that, give it time, you know, because you need to allow things to settle. And so the mind doesn't reroute as well. But as things settle, then one begins to move into where this feeling of, it's, you know, everything is empty in nature. Okay, so it's always non-dual. It's just energy. It's very, you know, there's no separation. That's why they say it's empty in nature. It doesn't mean it's without value, or that's, you know. And then you come to the point where it's, here is neither real nor unreal. Okay, it's the other side of the coin. And then you see that this is the fragrance. So that's when it comes out. This is Leela, okay? This is the play of God. It's not separate. So it's still, you know, the shifts that are still taking place in consciousness after realization. The depth starts coming in. You know, it's like the depth starts coming in. And then you go back. It's like the Buddhists say, you know, before realization, you chop wood and carry water. You know, on the way, things become different. And then after realization, you come back full circle. You chop wood and carry water. But your consciousness, the consciousness at that point, has gone through such a radical shift.
You wouldn't really see it as being different, would you? I mean, you're chopping wood, carrying water. You wouldn't really see it as being different from the absolute at that point.
No, no, uh-uh. No, no. It's just the fragrance of it. That's why, you know, that it's so wonderful, some of the symbology. Like, you have the linga stone in the yoni, and the linga is basically what? It looks like a seed. The seed state of the absolute, but it's not known until it's in the linga, and it comes through manifestation. And then it's known. Okay? So it's like the absolute is the potentiality for everything. It's that infinite perfection and absolute life, absolute potential. It gives the ability for thought to take place. It gives the ability for all of these things to happen. So it's one, it wants the sustainer and the creator and the dissolver and everything at one time. But that's unchanging. Okay? That's that point. Like the hurricane, you know, the eye is still and everything happens around that still eye. It's kind of like that. The world is the hurricane. Okay? Absolute is that eye of the storm that's unchanging. It allows everything else to take place. So that's why after realization, when everything's settled, then you come to what I call that zero-point balance. Okay? It's not only absolute or only the world. It's one and the same. Okay? It's not only sound or silence. There's an awareness of both, and it's not separate any longer.
Since it's the source of everything, it's the source of the hot and the cold, the black and the white. It's sort of like in between all of that, right?
Right, right.
Because it's the source.
It's the source, right, right. So it's not one or the other, it's that midpoint. It comes into the divisionary within the divided realm, the divisionary Shakti. Shakti is like the prism. You know, this is, absolute is like the light beyond all lights. Okay? It's beyond all lights, but allows the light to happen. So light comes into place, and then the prism happens, and then everything appears to subdivide into the many colorizations based on the vibrational aspect of it. It's a fun journey. It's a fun journey.
I was sitting in front of someone and I don't know, they were talking about suffering and all of that, and you know, and I forget how it came up. They were saying, you know, what was fun or whatever, and I said, to me, this is fun.
Yeah.
You know, sitting here, you know, with all of you is fun. That's what's fun to me.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, people get so caught up in their suffering personas that they miss life, you know. They're the ones that hold their suffering in place, you know, by the ignorance, you know, the ignorance of just not knowing what one is. And most importantly, what one's not. And what one is not is that suffering persona. But they're so caught in the idea of being a suffering persona that needs to find a way out of its, you know, bondage. But liberation is always here, even the liberation to be a suffering persona, you know.
There's a lot of times when I'm walking around and I see people and it's like, you're just all pretending. You know, you're just the absolute, just pretending. You know, it's just a very definite perception of that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, just stop pretending. Or
just stop it. Just quit.
Are you really enjoying that? You're just enjoying that so much. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I'm enjoying not enjoying.
Exactly.
I'm enjoying my suffering. Leave me alone. Absolutely. And these types of cognitions come. These are insights, and they all happen along the way. And then insight can be very, you know, the first time it arises, it's like, you know, you just see. And then everybody looks like robots for a while, or they all look like they're wearing masks, or they all, you know, or then you have that cognition that God's within everyone. And then everyone, if you happen to be a Krishna devotee, then everybody looks like Krishna, or everybody's got that, you know. And it's that change of consciousness that continues to take place as one goes through this journey. The world hasn't changed, just our total perception. And so since our perception changes, the whole of the world, you know, seems to go through a metamorphosis as well. Yeah. So it's very interesting things. If nobody else has a comment or question, what I thought I might do today, instead of reading from one of the other things, is maybe read an excerpt chapter from the book, from the new book. The Song of the Butterfly, Finding the Freedom Within. So we just need to figure out which categorization to read here. I thought maybe I'd do the one on self-realization or something. Yeah. We'll read the section on self-realization. Never will one again have a feeling I am this body. That illusion is broken forever. There is only spontaneity that remains, but spontaneity isn't concerned with the worldly things like before. There is no driving self, no point of self, no doership, no one doing. What needs to occur does. The body goes through the actions. There is simply peace, not one resting in peace, not one looking for peace, not one attempting to create peace. It simply is. The body and the universe are like a byproduct, like an echo. Even though a body is apparently here, there is no relationship or connection to it. It is like moving some dead puppet image, and what happens is spontaneous. Don't worry, in time all settles, but at first it is a total paradigm shift and a total differing perceptual awareness, a complete shift of reality. It gets better as one settles. The world cannot understand the reality of one who is without worldly attachments. There is a vast difference in true vairagya, which needs no mental promptings. Within realization, all this falls away. The world and its attachments simply dissolve, along with self, into this ever-present, pristine, pregnant void that is called self or absolute. Although one cannot even say that I is self, for while clearly it is the one nature of being, there is no personal sense or identity to be found anywhere. Eventually, it will come to a fuller resonating where, rather than feeling like a dream, one will externalize enough that the world simply becomes more in view and empty in nature, therefore also non-dual. Simply the movement of Shakti, the visual image of the absolute. But this takes time to enter. Realization is being blown out. That is exactly what is occurring. One is blown out. It is stepping into the essence of being, the singular seed state of all being. Realization is the essence of being, simply is. It is beyond debate. It is. And it is eternal and unchanging, the vast void where all arises within and returns to. The rest is surface movement, the domain of Shakti ripples. In realization, there is no personalized identity, no self-image that holds specific patterns of social acceptance as the social structure demands. If this mind is arising, then there is residual self-image that is fighting. It is the mind that causes the confusion. Let it go. And within the stillness, where can confusion remain? The actions which spontaneously occur will be sattvic. If there is confusion, then there is an I attempting to once again gain some ground to cling to a known. It is like dropping through a trap door at great speed. But once through, sudden, ultimate stillness, endless. One doesn't enter enlightenment and then go back to work on the mind. You'll hear some people say that on some of these lists that say they rest in realization. That first is realization, and then you have to go back and work on yourself. If that's the case, then one has simply had a glimpse, but they're not resting in realization. In realization, there is no denial, for the world is no more. It is nothing other than a temporary dream, nothing in it that is any more important or meaningful than the shorter dream state at night. Not everyone is within the midst of mental stuff. It truly does fall away. It cannot be remanufactured either, so no matter how many times people will want me to get involved with mundane woes and small talk, trying to, how can this be explained? It's like a layman trying to understand a Latin liturgy. It simply no longer computes. Yes, a body is seen. Yes, pain is felt, but it's not myself. This may only be directly experienced and not explained to the logical mind. There is an awareness of it, like awareness of the radio playing. You can hear the radio, but there is no connection with it. Traffic going by is as much a part of something within this self as is the physical vehicle. Once you enter into that realization, once there are no boundaries, you know, to keep subject-object in place, whatever emotion is there is also within your being. Okay? I think it's kind of like what you were saying, you were feeling like everything is connected. Yeah, you can have a quick glimpse of that as well. Yes? Oh, yeah, of course. There's still pleasure. Of course there's pleasure. But it's not so much just that it's connected to the physical vehicle. Mm. Yeah. A realized one lives fully in the moment. There is nowhere else to go, and why would there be a need to? Suffering is at an end. No matter where one is or what is going on in the external world, there is a center of peace, that unmoving eye that cares not one whit about what is raging about it. One is more grounded than ever was before, and yet there is no attachment to actions. They flow. They're momentary. Emotions are momentary. When that moment is over, there is no residual fallout being clung to bring into fruition the bitter fruit of suffering. This in itself is bliss. Actions come from rajas, tamas, or sattvic leanings. Was Christ being a good shepherd or an abuser when he entered into the temple and turned over the money changers' tables, saying, "My Father's house is a house of prayer, and you have turned it into a den of thieves"? Yes, the action was harsh, was hard, wasn't pleasant, but it was sattvic in nature, being that in the final call it was for the benefit of those that were engaging in actions of ego that are binding and creating bondage rather than freedom, shaking them up to the end that maybe they will look at their actions and turn in a new direction. Yet those seeing this side of Christ may stand on the sidelines and judge his actions as being hard. Were they the actions of ego, or were they the actions of one moving within the highest good? The reality of one that is an awakened being translates out to the flowing of actions, in which a realized being always does what is the best for those being interacted with. It does not engage in the actions of abuse. That is an egotistical psychopath thinking themselves to be the highest thing in creation. The realized one is not the highest thing in creation. They are no thing. They are only a moving shadow of events. What is real is simply God in action. God does not abuse God, although what is best is not always stroking and pleasant. You don't stroke ego games because while it may make one happy for a moment, it only secures the entrenching of the illusion. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, Saint Teresa of Lisieux, Saint Teresa of Avila, you adjudge outwardly that they are in a female body. Can you say what their conscious reality is? This one can assure you that there is no male or female within realization. There is no duality of self and other. This is something at this point, apparently, you cannot even imagine. What is known and lived either stands in the light of day or it doesn't. It doesn't stand the test of sages, then perhaps look in the direction of seeing that there might just be further to go. When realization is in place, the words of sages will be simply a mirroring point for what is directly lived. If there is a discrepancy, then perhaps one isn't quite clear. If one is told they are realized, yet their lives are still in mental turmoil and suffering, then I say you have a blind guru, and he didn't do you any service in allowing you to believe that what you have is realization. There is no longer a self that runs anywhere, no longer a past to be reconciled, fought against, or come to terms with. It was nothing other than a body attached to mind, sensory experience, desire, and aversion. When that falls away, what remains? When self is where is ill, self's mirage. Its spell is broken at an end. In one moment, the illusion of death, despair, bondage, and conditioning is over. One doesn't get it through a glimpse, which takes back a persona. It isn't gained by having a philosophy of denying body, mind as self. It's a living reality in which the illusion falls away and it doesn't return. Over, dead, gone. Mind stills. No persona is seen or felt. It is the judging masses with minds steeped in duality who will point and say, "But I see you speaking, therefore you must have a personal sense of self." Ramana dispels this over and over again. Realization is not gained by debate or by gathering what one has read into some litany of parroting, nor by besting anyone in a debate. Realization is an unshakable point of balance in that there is no persona that holds to any attachments of mind, form, emotions, knowing them to be empty in nature. Enlightenment has nothing to do with monetary means. Don't think that realization, one gets some magical tree that produces money. Before, there was deep suffering, and now there is none. Before, there was deep depression, and now there is none. Before, there was no hope. Now there is no need. Before, there was empty speculation. Now there is none. Before, there was fear. Now there is nothing to fear. Does this mean one no longer encounters the disgruntled, the angry, the sarcastic, the scornful, the prideful, and the pompous? Of course not. One wades daily through the suffering sea of humanity. Seeing others' continued suffering, one is moved to speak the truth that realization is not a myth. One stands their ground amid the cacophony of naysayers. For this truth, this self that holds no temporal comings and goings, no care for ups and downs that are a part of the Shakti flow, this truth is not moved by temporary disturbances. This truth, this self that holds no temporal comings and goings, no care for ups and downs that are a part of the Shakti flow, this truth is not moved by temporary disturbances. A momentary wave of emotion is exactly that. One moment it is there, and the next it is as if it never was. one speaks that enlightenment is available to all equally, and that each has the same essence of divine potentiality. This myth of realization being a momentary feel-good phenomena is just that, a myth, being continually put forth by those who have had a glimpse, yet feared their demise and have taken back the suffering persona, i.e. better to be a suffering self than to let go of the driving desires and aversions. If the work has not taken place alongside meditation, then glimpses at best may happen. Insights may occur, but realization will elude those suffering souls of divided mind. To those I say you have given up too soon, taken insights and wrapped them around a suffering persona, choosing a philosophical stance rather than holding out and confronting self with a deep inquiry, which does not create a bigger self, but rather tears the foundations asunder. One carries on, and not only do the foundations crumble, but the false identifications are burnt one by one, until nothing remains but a pile of ash. These ashes are blown away as realization draws one beyond the worldly samadhi and into that samadhi which holds no world within it. When the work has been done, then a sahaj samadhi remains. Mind does not arise again with self-image to choke out the life. Tendrils of self-image no longer take root and grow to once again bring a world of bondage and freedom search, just a passing experience that was experienced by a me. For the one whom realization is a reality and no myth, there is no connection to the activities of the form. What is encountered simply flows with spontaneity, no cares, no concerns. One moment flows into another, and yet no firm sense of time remains as a fixed past, present, or future. Although others see an outer form, although others take the actions to stem from an entrenched self-image, that has simply fallen away. What remains is spontaneous action. What comes passes like ripples on a stilled lake, momentary, empty in nature. This is liberation. When realization is in its early stages of settling, the words flow most prolifically. Eventually, at least for this one, they are dying out, and simply stillness, awareness prevails. Words not being as prolific as intellectual mind stuff is receding into stillness. There is at this point very little linear thought process left intact. Perhaps some wax more eloquently and continue in eloquence, but for some it simply falls away. Ajah is another example of this. Speaking in conversation, which must come from thinking mentation, becomes quite difficult to access. That which flows spontaneously flows as it will. There is a difference between realization and having a glimpse, which becomes more of a philosophical stance than the living, breathing reality. The difference between once having seen and tasted an apple 20 years ago and trying to remain the flavor, remain and remember the flavor, versus having an endless supply of apples which are crisp and ever pleasant on the plate. Memories are vague at best. What was once before that was so important it drove one's life, now it is not seen. It's like trying to remember some old film you saw as a young child. Small glimpses, bits and pieces remain, that is all. Very disjointed and of no import. Now is lived. Now is the only sense of vaporous reality. When this moment is over, for the most part, it is over. No memories or slight memories that are not contained in a time frame. Was that a week ago? 5 minutes ago? A month ago? Then it's gone. Pure awareness remains, not linear thought, which builds stone upon stone of constructed images held together by the glue of mental ramblings of past if-onlys and future what-ifs. This cannot even be imagined until it becomes your reality. If one finds a need to use linear thought, it can be accessed, but is difficult to maintain and hold. I'm speaking about what is here in this consciousness. It falls away quite suddenly the moment attention is not being held in place to keep it in motion. What is most natural at the moment is pure awareness, which has no thought attached, simply is, not dividing into this or is that. Sitting on the banks of the Ganges, suddenly the last great fear arose. Terror. Was it total annihilation or possession that was a step away? Exhausted with the realization that this seeker had done all that was possible to do, left only one option, to surrender within the impending doom which had engulfed every cell with the terror of its demise. The world ended, black, then whoosh, no self. I have never existed. There is nothing, no form, no person, no knowledge, yet whole perfection is. Unborn, one without a second. Also not one but zero, for it is ever indivisible. Where all light proceeds from, and yet beyond light. Where all Shakti proceeds from, and yet beyond Shakti. Every atom of the universe is this infinite potential. For nothing has life except this life. The mind ended as a repository for knowing about what is paramount is this absolute is. There is nothing other or apart. Life remains as lila, for there is nothing apart from the reality of is. Time no longer has linear references. Was it a day ago, a month, a year? There is only ever-present now. And even now has no meaning in conceptualized understanding, as it takes the past and future to hold it in place, which become only words without much import. The idea of bondage falls away into this intense, overwhelming is. There are no longer desires that move a limited mindset wrapped around a form. Form is only another image, like spoon or car, a tool without a reference as I. All life takes place and is felt as self. How can this be shared? Words pale. Silence is the closest to is. Silent bliss that seeks nothing and is complete as is. Fall in love with self. Self never leaves you. It is that same self within all masters, not two, not two. Enlightenment is beyond a doership of steps to make lives outwardly better. What really happens in the dream? What is touched? Realization is like that. The world is simply a grander dream and dreamer, but nothing ever truly happens, neither real nor unreal. It's the same experience, but on a larger scale. This is awakening when that attachment is broken and seen for what it is. Nataraj dances, whether creation or destruction is taking place. Destruction makes way for a new creation or liberation. For one that confronts the illusory nature of such, it doesn't matter. Transient flow is empty in nature. Only the mind that is attached to one versus the other feels pain and pleasure as separate identification. Realization is nothing other than the archetype of Nataraj in personification. Nataraj. It's the dancing Shiva. Be aware of Ardhanarishvara. Be aware of that which is beyond social dictates and mores. Be aware that it is time to allow Kali to break through what may be broken through. Be aware that this thought on keeping women bound is that of social structure and is from ignorance. Women can reach realization just as readily as any man. Self is not the form. It is the time for the understanding of the dynamic of Shiva Shakti and that it takes respect for all of humanity in order for full grace to flow. There is no singular identity of a me that comes and goes and is reborn. This is why I continue to say that Sharon died and Ganga is an illusion. You simply are no more. Those within duality will not suddenly see that you are no more. I'm sure that they would say that Osho, just as this, as they say Swamiji, has a strong personality. But this is only within their minds of limiting existence to brain, body, and emotion. For the realized one, there is no such inner cognition. There is simply the reality of the ever-pure essence, which is Shiva Shakti, which is pure being, which is even beyond I am, for the I am is the first projection. When illusion has imploded, at that point remains the peace that passes all understanding. There is nothing to hold as an understanding, for understanding is from the point of view of a persona, a glitch in time. There is no person that attempts to hold powers in place. Cities come and go. It is true that miraculous things simply take place in connection with and around realized ones. It's difficult to explain. But yes, have had people with spontaneous healings, kundalini awakenings, appearances to people before meeting them. So many things take place, but I am not doing it on any type of a conscious level. There is no I cognized to put anything into effect by desire. Just like all the images that showed up in the fire during the consecration ceremony, they simply appear. But Swamiji did not need to do anything to make it happen. It simply does. What do you term awakened? If one is still dealing with mental issues, then they are still within a Maya type of mind. So how is this awakened? As Buddha termed awakened, it is no longer within Maya. The dream is broken, over and done as far as control over the mental faculties. Many have had a glimpse and are on soapboxes to say that's all there is. Then you simply walk around with some new perspective. There's nothing liberated in that whatsoever. Having been on both sides of that fence, I can understand why they wish to believe that that is all there is. But I would be unethical at best if I did not say that liberation is being peddled quite cheaply. And if it were the case, I would say you were better off going to the movies and chugging down a beer at your local bar. Can you call him? In realization, as within all things, it takes time for the tree to be planted, the tree to grow and bear fruit, and the fruit has to ripen fully before being ready to fall from the tree. When the fruit falls, this is realization. Of course, it is possible to be enlightened in smoke. Enlightenment is of the consciousness, while smoking is of the body, the temporal. Although I don't advocate it, it cuts the form's time considerably. The form is the temple of the divine, so why pollute the temple? Forget about what the body is doing. Look at where Nisargadatta's consciousness is. The Prarabdha karma plays out. If the body was addicted to tobacco, it doesn't mean that it was anything other than playing out of transience. His consciousness was not infected by the transience. They come and go. Reality is forever the same, no matter what the transience are showing. Reality or self-realization is there already. As one doesn't become it, one is already that. It's just a matter of stripping away the coverings that deny it. The ignorance of the egoic mind is to at first see everything in relationship to ego. There are not many enlightened eyes. Personal separated self ends as a focal part, as a focal point. There is only one. That's why every realized being has the same reality. It's only one at that point. Why all masters will say basically the same things. Their words will mirror one another because it's only one reality. There are not many selves that have different realities of realization. There's only one. I'm neither mother nor father. Source has no identity or form. But due to your being caught within the confines of duality and form, you may say that I am mother. If you're speaking of liberation, it means finding out what God is. What is self? What is eternal and unchanging? What is pristine and forever pure? I only term realization as awakening. Until then, one is still wandering and searching for answers. Perhaps it was your first insight that there was more. One has many, many cognitive insights and shifts of perceptual awareness along the way. Brothers and sisters are within the dual mindset. A realized one is neither male nor female within consciousness. Only through realization, which is one at a point, this is one at a time at this point, does a change take place that is significant. Look, I'll say it this way. I was in hell, now I'm in peace, and it has remained so for over 6 years now. The newly enlightened need time to settle. It does take time before one is settled into the fullness of ever-present is, as is, although it isn't a growth per se. Mind's last tendencies and tentacles as a seer fall away. As one no longer grasps to understand or expound or figure out what has taken place within the confines of intellectual definitions, waves of mind play settle into peace, stillness, flow of direct is rather than mental projection of dissected waves into either or. Truth or living reality dissolves the remainder of conscious cognition of duality, or sequestered absolute as reality versus the flow of Shakti. Then integration or fullness as expression takes place. In fullness of being, there is equally spontaneous flow. From dream state to empty in nature to non-dual is, in which there is nothing that is not God, a living yantra, the flow of Shiva Shakti, one, or what Ramakrishna termed vijnana, beyond jnana, into the fullness of expression. As St. John of the Cross said, I have entered into the unknowing which is beyond all knowledge. And this was indeed realization. I might say it rather that mankind meets the devil, the world of dark thought, and enters into the cloud of false knowing. Illusional separational knowledge. It is only in letting go of the so-called known that one enters into the place of unknowing that is beyond all relational knowledge. Pure intellect without covering of knowledge into separation. Enlightenment, as I have stated many times, is in the end the greatest cosmic joke. We search here and there to the ends of the earth, and we couldn't get away from it if we had tried. It simply is the truth of existence. And such is the chapter on the pointings toward what is self-realization. I'll read one more quick excerpts out of the book. These pointings are on God. There is nothing that exists that is not God. One can say that God is and equally is not. How can this be? In order for God to exist, there must be something other than God. Simply, there is not. It cannot be spoken of. It is true. No one can look upon the face of God and live. God has no face. It is the formless absolute which is. One moment in the Holy of Holies where all light proceeds from dissolves all conceptualized ideas and belief systems. Shivalinga is the absolute, seed state, primal intellect, essence unborn, eternal, the unknowing that's beyond all knowledge, Parashiva, formless, whole, complete, the pregnant void, simply is. Entering here, one dissolves utterly as a separate personality and conditioned knowledge blows out. It is at an end. One must finally give up and let go. Go into the heart. Let japa flow. Om Namah Shiva. Be the japa. One. Don't think about it. Once again, that creates separation. Allow it to flow and simply be that. Mantra, self, is one. There is only that. There is nothing other than God, above, below, within, without, nothing other than this. It is not something separate to be striven for or something to be reached. It simply is. It's the essence of all being. Namaste. Om Namah Narayana. There is no separation from God, or else there would be no existence or life. That's pretty simple. Absolute has no cognition of a world, yet the world is a byproduct of the qualities. No, you have not. You have been reading too many books and are postulating fantasy. Absolute, which is core reality, is not of form. To say it has a sex is utter nonsense. Bindu, stillness, is the point of center. From that point, then the first movement of Shakti takes place. Om. The universe springs into being. The fragrance then arises. It's all God. It's all good. It's all life. Ocean and waves, one and the same. Yes, you are responsible for your life and choices. Grace happens as one comes into alignment with truth, surrenders to the sattvic way which Christ always pointed to. God's not a big guy sitting on a throne with a goodie sack in one hand and a club in the other. God is and is not a personality and is the seed of all the universe and creation. God is much more than imagined and yet not this big personal self imagined by many. One dissolves within the consciousness of that absolute essence which is. It's undeniable, beyond question, with total reality. One becomes many, in the same way a light through a prism makes the appearance of many colors. There is only one light. There are not many gods, but many aspects of one God. The prism is Shakti. There are not many souls, but many facets of one. Contained in all religions is God's message or God directly. Look closer. Which is it? Is God removed from the flowing of paths to, or celebration of, or is a particle of light and God's essence in itself to be found within the flowering. Ah, is one running to or dissolving within this very essence? When self drops, there is nothing other than God. It has always been present, like the Bible says, wherever I go, you are there. I try to hide, but you are there. In the depths of the oceans, at the top of the mountains, there is no place that God or divine essence is not. So we'll go ahead and take a break here and come back for meditation. Thank you for coming today. Namaste. Mahashanti Om.